Now, fourthly and lastly, the episode of the last disciple. The name of this last person, this last disciple, to be personally converted, so to speak, by the Buddha, was Subhadra, or Subhadra. And he was a wanderer, a Paribrajaka. He was in the vicinity of Kusinara, just happened to be there. And he'd heard that the Buddha was going to pass away that very night. So he thought he mustn't miss this opportunity. So he came to where the Buddha was. But Ananda, not wishing the Buddha to be disturbed at such a time, would not allow him to approach sufficiently near to the Buddha to speak to him. But the Buddha overheard their conversation, and he told Ananda, perhaps he called out to Ananda, to let Subhadra in. And the two of them, the Buddha and Subhadra, they entered into conversation. The Buddha taught Subhadra, and Subhadra was, as we might say, converted. And being converted, he goes for refuge. He asks for ordination. Now, we're not concerned with all that. We're concerned with just one point. And this point is not actually mentioned in the text itself. It's mentioned in Buddha Ghosha's commentary. The text speaks of the Buddha granting Subhadra's request, that is to say his request for ordination, and telling Ananda, ordain him. And the commentary, Buddha Ghosha's commentary, tells us exactly how this was done, what Ananda did, and then what the Buddha did on that occasion. And this is very interesting and very important, because it's clearly based on a very ancient tradition of what actually happened on that occasion. So let me read you that commentarial passage. Buddha Ghosha says, the Thera, that is Ananda, they say, took him, i.e. Subhadra, on one side, poured water over his head from a water vessel, made him repeat the formula of meditation on the impermanency of the body, shaved off his hair and beard, clad him in the yellow robes, made him repeat the three refuges, and led him back to the Exalted One. The Exalted One himself admitted him then into the higher rank of the Brotherhood and pointed out to him a subject for meditation. So why is this so interesting and so important? Well, there's a distinct parallel here with our own ordination procedure in the Western Buddhist order. According to Buddha Ghosha, Subhadra is, first of all, made to go for refuge. Then he's given a subject of meditation. His hair and beard are shaved. Water is poured over his head. He's clad in yellow robes. And finally, he's accepted into the ranks of the Sangha. And all these items, except one, are found in our own private and public ordination ceremonies. First of all, the going for refuge. Well, that's found in both the private ceremony and the public ceremony. Then, secondly, the giving of the subject of meditation. Well, that, of course, as you all know, is found in the private ordination when you get your visualization and mantra recitation practice. And then thirdly, the shaving of hair and beard. Well, this is not found in the case of the Western Buddhist order, though some people, that is to say some men, do have a very close crop sometimes before ordination. And then fourthly, well, the pouring of the water, that's found in the public ordination. And fifthly, being clad in yellow robes corresponds to investiture with the kesa, found in the public ordination. And of course, sixthly and lastly, reception into the ranks of the Sangha occurs in the course of the public ordination. In fact, there's only one item that is not found in our own ordination procedure. And that, of course, is, that is only one item that, there's only one item that's not found in our own ordination procedure. That is to say, the one I've mentioned, the shaving of the hair and beard. And there's indeed one item in our own ordination procedure which is not present in Subhadra's case. That is, of course, the giving of the name. So all this is quite important and quite significant in view of the fact that in the FWBO and in the WBO, we try to go back, so to speak, to the origins of things. We try to base ourselves on what is basic and fundamental in the Buddhist tradition. And it's a further interest that on this commentarial passage, T.W. Rhys Davies, the translator of the Digha Nikaya, has a judicious note. He says, according to this, no set ceremony for ordination, Sangha Kamma, as laid down in the Vinaya, which of course developed sometime later, took place. And it is otherwise probable that no such ceremony was usual in the earliest days of Buddhism. Well, the implications of this statement require to be very well pondered indeed. But we can't do that tonight. In some ways I've said less than I intended to say tonight. In some ways I've said rather more. But in any case, it's time to close. In 10 days' time, we shall be observing the anniversary of the Buddha's parinirvana. And I hope that what I've said this evening will, among other things, help to make it an even more significant occasion than usual. I hope that it will give us an even deeper realization of or insight into the truth of impermanence. I hope it will give us an even deeper realization of the inevitability of death. And I hope it will enable us to be, so to speak, present with the Buddha on that occasion between the twin sala trees.